Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise at all, I like to talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people who crossed my path and the interesting conversations that we have. The Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about harnessing and sharing this collective business know-how, the experience, and the wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, they're brave, and they're honest. There are laughs, and surprisingly, there's often talk of wine. We think you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So come on in, pull up a chair, let's get the conversation started. Hello, Emma Price, how are you?
Well, thank you, Kathy, and yourself?
Yep, all good. We've had some sunny days in Melbourne, so that puts everyone in a bit of a shiny mood. Thank you for coming on to the podcast. Emma Price is the founding CEO or founding boss lady of the amazing magazine Source Kids. And I would really like Emma to introduce herself and perhaps share up what she's comfortable with about her amazing family.
Sure. Well, I guess, you know, to start with, you know, my background is in marketing management, and I've enjoyed a great career in some wonderful marketing management roles. And I guess my life took a little bit of a right-hand turn about 8 years ago when we started our family and our daughter Charlotte was born. And I guess we had all of the same joys that any other family would have when they welcomed their first baby into the world. We had a fairly challenging year in the lead up to that. My dad was incredibly unwell, so our little Charlotte was a blessing that came out of the end of that, which was wonderful. And of course, we welcomed Charlotte, and she ticked along. And I guess about when she was around 10 months old, we started to have some concerns around her development. We went on a family holiday, and the snapshots sort of showed that her eyes were were turned a little bit. When we returned from holidays, we ended up going and having that checked out by an ophthalmologist. And I can remember being completely distraught at the time because my daughter might have had to have worn glasses. So that was a really, really, really hard thing for me at the time. And, you know, little did I know what was to come. But, of course, you know, Charlotte, we had some further testing. There was some other further question marks around her development. And over time, we ended up being referred to a paediatrician who pretty much nailed it in our first meeting with him and said, "Your daughter has Angelman syndrome. I've got another patient with Angelman syndrome, and I'm fairly certain that that's the case." I guess what went on from there was sat down and he wrote the name of a medical website on a little piece of paper, which you can imagine was filled with a whole heap of medical jargon and terms that we went away and, you know, of course we did what any other parent did because we had little information from him. We went away and Googled.
I've got Google goosebumps.
Worst thing you can possibly do, it's, you know, it presents, if anyone goes and Googles Angelman syndrome, it presents possibly the worst light possible. And we were obviously beside ourselves. And I can remember a friend came around and he said, "You've got to go and check this website out." So we went and looked at this website, and it made such a difference to us in us being able to accept the diagnosis. And I guess everything that this paediatrician had told us sitting there in that doctor's surgery, our poor little one-year-old daughter was sitting on the floor crawling around doing commando spins around and around, and he said, "This is all your daughter will ever do. She'll never accomplish any more in her life than this. She'll never go to a school. She'll never be able to accomplish anything in life." So that was pretty hard-hitting when we were sitting there. And of course, this friend turns up with this website and, you know, this amazing person who was up in Cairns who'd started a foundation and had a little girl with Angelman syndrome, and we connected. And then obviously, you know, we went through the same, you know, shock and grief process as anyone else does when they have a diagnosis of their child. But I think just, you know, finally getting some positive information and seeing some videos of kids that were doing awesome things. They were walking, there were a few that were saying words, they were using their, you know, their pods and their iPads, and, you know, it was really reassuring. So So yeah, I guess that was the our initiation into the world of disability. We then went on to have another child, Ollie. He's about to turn 6, so all healthy and well and a full bundle of joy.
An activity.
Absolutely, he's a boy.
Okay, so my goosebumps haven't gone down yet. We have, as an allied health professional, we have so much to learn from parents, and I've learnt the most from the families that I've worked with, and it's changing and it's improving, but it feels a little glacial sometimes. We've got a long way to go. And so what I've got in my mind now is that you've got beautiful Charlotte and you've got your marketing degree and you're appreciating the need for parent power and parent-informed decisions and building relationships with other parents and providers. Bring us up to speed in terms of what happened in that pool at Noosa that kicked off Source Kids.
Well, it was a very, very rare holiday. My husband and I snuck up to Noosa for a couple of days, child-free. I can't remember. I think we had both kids at that point in time. My dear mother looked after the children, so we could take a couple of days just to get some sleep and to chill out. So I remember around that time we had some friends up there that we'd caught up with. We were talking to them and they were telling us about their newspaper magazine that they produced for a very different demographic, very different audience. And we just had sort of had that in our mind. And we were swimming in a pool late one night. I don't think we consumed any wine by that point. But we started talking about, you know, special needs and disability. And at that time, we had some funding that we needed to spend. I think it was the Better Start funding. We were coming up to sort of a point where it was starting to, you know, expire. So we needed to think about what we wanted to spend it on. And I remember we wanted to get my daughter Charlotte a stroller, because we'd had various strollers. She'd outgrown the typical child strollers. So I remember saying, look, how, like, I'd been looking for weeks for a stroller and I couldn't find anything that worked. You know, I'd spent hours and hours trawling all of these websites and still coming up with nothing. And I guess it got us talking about, you know, how do we actually find things? How do we find products and services? And, you know, I'm so sick of having to spend hours just trawling through, you know, the internet and social media sites and still not coming up with anything. So we said, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was just, you know, one place that people could go to, or one source of information that everybody could go to, and, you know, it would just help every other parent in our situation, you know, on the journey as a special needs parent, and make that life just a little bit easier. So I think then and there we decided we were going to do something. My background's marketing management, and I was thinking, oh, we could put together a magazine. That's not that hard. And
if you say,
it'd be fun, they said, go on, do it. And I guess, you know, then started the, you know, the whole planning and the content and how are we going to get this magazine out there, and is it a paid magazine, is it a free magazine, and all of that sort of stuff come to play. So I ended up contacting one of my good friends who also lives on the Sunshine Coast, who also has a daughter with Angelman syndrome. I knew she had a writing background, and I said, I'm doing this thing. It's going to be called Source Kids. How do you feel about coming on board as editor of the magazine? And I think we both squealed for about 10 minutes and went, yes, it'll be fun, they said. Yeah, that's right. She has. Yeah, Marie-Louise has been our editor right from the get-go, so, which is fantastic. And, you know, such lived experience in this space, which, you know, just brings so much more to what we do. So I guess, you know, we grew from there. We quickly established about 100 distributors across Australia. We did a quick print run. I think our first print run might have been about 1,000 or 1,500 magazines. And we started approaching businesses because I decided I wanted it to be a free magazine. I thought that parents had enough burden in their lives that they, you know, they didn't have to fork over more money just to find information. So we wanted to keep it free, so we were reliant on advertising. So I'd put a fair chunk of money in to get things going, and the rest of it was up going to need to be funded by businesses that promote what they do. So, you know, we said about it, we had nothing to show people. We had a pretty media kit. We had no samples, no real life, and it was probably one of the hardest things we've ever done, is trying to sell this magazine that was going to be. So, but we did a really good job. The first issue was launched in June 2014. And, you know, it's just snowballed from there, the support that we've received. And we're now, you know, we're producing at the moment 2,500 mags per quarter, which we're hoping to grow. Yeah, so we're just looking to get some funding to be able to grow that even more, because we've got a wait list a mile long of businesses that want copies there for their clients, and schools particularly really want to be able to send a copy home with every child and reach their parents. So we really want to be able to print more copies, which is a goal for us. And I guess over time we've expanded, our team's grown. We've now got a team of four. We've got a couple of other people that have joined our team. And we've really gone into, I think, you know, that a little bit more that digital content space. We've got a whole raft of contributors that are, you know, pediatricians and occupational therapists, speech therapists, physios. And we've also got a number of bloggers that write for us that just want to share their story. And it's created such an amazing sense of community in what we do. And I think parents are not feeling isolated. They're not feeling, you know, inferior to other people. They're feeling like they've got this little community around them and people that just get it, that, you know, we support everyone when, you know, they're going through their lows, and, you know, we rally around and, you know, we laugh and cry and everything together. So it's a wonderful community that we've been able to build over the last 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was going to reach for one of the magazines, but I know we were talking last week. I've never got any copies because I give them all away, and I give away even the ones that I want to kind of keep for myself. But if I flip through the pages, there's amazing articles that are just so person-centered and so family-centered. It's about real life, and you've got photos of kids with disabilities. And although there's ads through there, they're really relevant and beautifully matched to the articles. It might be around footwear, or it might be around a special clothing that makes the getting dressed routine easier. It's about therapy supports. There's really good, timely, high quality content from OTs and psychologists and speech pathologists. And I've never ever read an article that just wasn't incredible and heartfelt. And so you really recruit beautiful writers for their enormous hearts.
Yeah, we do. Look, the vision of what we do, and it's been true since day dot, is that we want to present information that's relevant, reliable and up to date, and we want to present that information in a vibrant and positive manner. So we think, you know, there's enough doom and gloom around disability. We're here to provide positive solutions to parents. We're not here just to spit out information for the sake of doing it. Everything we do has to have a positive solution attached to it. So it's got to be able to actually help a child with a disability in some way, shape or form, you know, be it their parents in dealing with that, or a therapy or a product or a service for the child. So, and you're right, the advertising content, we recently surveyed our readers and we asked, you know, do you look at the ads? And they said, yes, we do. 100% of people said we do. We find it just as informative as the editorial content, because if those ads weren't there, people wouldn't know about those products. And there's so much stuff out there that once you go looking, we could produce a magazine monthly. We just find so many great products out there. We could produce it so much more often, but obviously, you know, we can't do that quite yet. We might get there one day, but yeah, so I think, you know, access to those products and services is really important, and our readers really love it.
Yeah. So on the back of that, what do you want service providers to know about the Source Kids magazine and website and organisation?
Well, I guess it's a wonderful place for businesses to promote themselves. Of course, they had to put that in there. But I guess it is a really good resource, and I think a lot of businesses we talk to, I guess the challenge is that they feel they don't have to promote what they do, but look, it's really, really important. And our readers are telling us that they actually do, you know, take up offers in the magazine, and they do contact people, and they keep that little magazine on their coffee table, and it's all dog-eared and circled and pages ripped out and stuck on the fridge. So, you know, we know that people refer back to that as a bit of a Bible down the track. They'll see something and, you know, we'll, you know, 2 months' time when they're in a position to start going looking for particularly big items that are fairly expensive and reliant on funding, they may not make that purchase then and there, but down the track they'll pull it back out when they have got that funding.
But
I think, you know, there's what we're doing is really providing an opportunity for obviously to give information, but also to connect our readers and our audience with product and service providers, because that's really important too, that they know what options are out there for them and how to make contact.
Yeah, I would probably add to that also connecting families to other families as well, and that sense of community and that sense of tribe, if you like, is really important and is quite hard to find sort of in naturally occurring kind of ways. I mean, I can think of amazing friendships that have started from waiting rooms when they meet families from the appointments before and after, and this is like an extension of that. It's a virtual cup of tea, isn't it, when it arrives?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And probably as much so through our digital channels as magazine. I mean, online, the content we're reaching at the moment, our combined total reach per month is around 240,000 people a month. It's just phenomenal. And, you know, the majority of that is through our digital channels. So online content and the social media channels, you know, we're getting really high engagement. I think one of the quotes we put up this week, which was a beautiful quote, you know, just about give yourself a break as a special needs parent. You deserve it. Like, it is a hard road. You just give yourself a break, whatever that is. And I think, you know, I think it's up to about 45,000 people that have, you know, seen that post, and it's been shared 250 odd times or something. So I think just getting those little messages out, just things like that, really create that, you know, let's just boost each other up when we're feeling a little bit down and out. Let's boost each other up and, you know, give each other a bit of a lift up and get back on track again.
Oh, lovely. I particularly love the Instagram content. It's just so honest and raw and just, yeah, yep. I love it, love it, love it, love it. So I'm thinking about the growth that you've had since 2014. It's only a couple of years. What have you learnt during all of this rocket of a process?
A lot. It'll be fun, they said. I'll come back to that. Look, you know, it has been. It's been an amazing journey. It's been so much fun, but it's also been incredibly challenging. And there's been a lot of instances where, you know, like any startup business, any new business, like we've, you know, things have been really, really hard. We've had some challenges that sometimes I've thought maybe we may not overcome. But I think, you know, I think what I've learned over the last 3 years is that if you create something that there's an audience and a need for, with good management and a great team to deliver it, it can't fail. So I think that's a big thing. You know, there's been so many hills that we've had to, you know, climb up and overcome, but it's so worth it when you get some of the testimonials and the comments and the emails from our audience that are just saying, just, gosh, you've just saved me. I was in a really bad place and you've just brought me out of it. And, you know, I think when you hear that, you just think, yeah, it's all worth it. It's definitely worth it. And I think probably one of the best things that we've been able to do is to embrace change and embrace, you know, the rate at which technology has, you know, moved forward. And that's a really, really big platform for us, and it will be moving forward. I can't see us ever not having the magazine, because it's a really valuable resource for our readers, and they've said that we want it on the coffee table in hard copy. We want to dog ear it. But at the same time, you know, I guess the way forward for majority of businesses now and media is that online space. And, you know, you're getting people on the run on their smartphones, sitting in waiting rooms looking for content and trying to kill time. And that's, I think, where, you know, that those short, sharp little pieces of content is really helpful.
I agree. There's a place for everything, but the on-demand digital content, I think, is a bit of a winner. So a cheeky question, if we're sitting here chatting this time next year, what will you be saying then about Source Kids? What's the next 12 months got in store?
Oh, huge growth, I think, at this stage, Kathy. We've got a lot of plans in place. A lot of it will revolve around digital media and how we move that forward. There's a really big movement towards video-based content, so I think that's a space that you'll see Source Kids move into. And I guess, you know, there's a couple of other little things we've got on the cards that I probably can't divulge. Oh. Because obviously IP, we want to retain them, and we want to be first to the post with them. So, but there's some really great things, and they're all about providing tools to families, again, just to help them and to find, to, you know, access great products and services. So there's a few things on the horizon, but look, you know, in 12 months time, I'd love to be sitting here and saying that we've doubled or tripled or, you know, even more than that, our audience, because I think the scope's there. We're getting so much support from, we're getting emails daily for people that want to write for us and blog for us, and they just want to share their stories. So it's just, you know, it's just awesome, and I can't see it, you know, going anywhere other than upwards.
Beautiful. I'll give you the chance to shout out your website and all your channels.
Absolutely.
Go for
Absolutely.
It.
www.sourcekids.com.au. You can sign up to receive the magazine. You can sign up to our email updates, which we send weekly, or get social with us on all of our social media channels. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube.
Got them covered. Thank you so much for joining in this conversation. My apologies that I was late. That happens sometimes. It's not very professional, but it happened this time. And thank you for your patience with that. And I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person. You're coming over in June to speak at the conference. So I guess what you'll be speaking about really follows on from this, and really kind of working with the people in the room around your product and marketing and all the rest of it. So thank you. Have a good afternoon. I hope school pickup goes beautifully for you. And yeah, we'll catch up in a couple of months.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Kathy.
See you later.
Lovely.
Bye.
Bye.
Big thanks for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you enjoyed this episode and all the other strong private practice stories in this, our very first season of Private Practice Secrets. If you're keen for some more private practice business info, we sure can help you out. Head on over to the NACRConsulting.com.au website and you'll find all sorts of bits and pieces there. Blogs, forms, web events, freebies, conferences, and more. I'll spell that for you, NACRE.com.au. Yeah, a weird name with a really, really cool story. While you're on the website, you are warmly invited to book in for a free 30-minute power coaching session. I really look forward to hearing a bit more about you and your business. And yes, you have full permission to pick my brains. Thanks for listening. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, and I'm wishing you and your business a brilliant day.